Good evening, Los Angeles. Welcome to the Talking Show on K Chung Radio, Chinatown's only.
Only.
That's right. Only micro broadcasting radio station. I am Nicholas Miller, here with my tireless co-host, Stephen Cato. Why don't you say hi, Steve?
Hey, people of Los Angeles, how are you?
Yeah. How about that weather out there, Steve? It's quite something, isn't it?
It's terrifying. It's not terrifying. It's just regular June gloom shit. But yeah, I know. You just get used to it being so nice so much of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No need to carry on. This isn't a weather show. But what this is, is this is a show dedicated entirely to talking.
That's right.
And this week, we will not fail in our unflagging efforts to bring you as much talking as we possibly can.
Some serious shit.
You know, this may have come up in previous episodes, but I have something to admit to our loyal listeners. From listening to the show, one may have gotten the impression that I grew up in a liberal place. A place, you know, where we'd sip espressos and talk about philosophy and maybe catch the metro somewhere or take in a film in the early afternoon so that we could go to dinner, try that new Asian restaurant. But I didn't. I grew up in Texas. And if there's anything Texas is known for other than oil, it's completely crazy right-wing conservative radicals. We grow those kind of people strong and tall out in Texas. And I thought, you know, in deference to my roots, I'd invite one of those folks out here to Los Angeles. You know, one of the bastions of strange culture out here on the West Coast. I guess in some degrees it pales in comparison to San Francisco. But, you know, we got our fair share of liberal weirdos out here.
Yeah.
And so I thought I'd expose some of my roots tonight. And so we've invited the one and only Brian Black from ITS Tactical. He runs a very prestigious online blog and YouTube channel dedicated to tactical planning and information so that, you know, even though you're spending time hanging out in your suburban household, you'll know how to cut a Navy SEAL's throat if you need to, which for those of you that didn't grow up in Texas, you have no idea how often you need to cut somebody's throat, especially a Navy SEAL.
Yeah. I mean, in these days with the, you know, NSA whistleblower revelations coming out, I think it's only safe to say that the tyrannical government, its minions, the Navy SEALs, they're coming to get us. They're coming to take our freedom. They're coming to forcibly sterilize our women. And they're coming to steal our weapons. So when the Navy SEALs come, I think we need to be prepared. Right, Nicholas?
But in keeping with his conservatism, Brian has chosen to stick with the format that he uses on his online show. So if in tonight's talk you ever get the sense that these are separate talks, they're really just three parts to the same talk slash performance.
It's a triptych.
Because Brian is really, underneath it all, just an expert performer. So without any further ado, we have the one and only Brian Black.
Hey guys, welcome to ITS Tactical. On today's Night of the Week, we're going to tie something a little different. We're going to basically paracord wrap a small hand sanitizer bottle. Some people have referred to this as kind of a, I guess, germ grenade or something, germ bomb. I can't remember. But on any hand, what you'll be able to do with this is to not only create the pattern that we'll use to wrap this, but it can be used on things as large as an Nalgene too. So essentially what you're doing is you're using the Solomon bar knot, which is something we've been over a couple of times on ITS. So we're not going to get too in-depth with the actual Solomon bar itself, But basically, it's a Solomon bar that wraps around the object, and another piece of paracord is weaved on the sides to anchor it in. So let's get started, and we'll show you how to do it. Okay, so what you're going to need for this is obviously your hand sanitizer bottle or anything that you're going to use to make this wrap with. This happens to be a hand sanitizer bottle that I've dumped the sanitizer out of or used up and replaced with denatured alcohol that I've tinted with some blue food coloring for my alcohol stoves. So at any rate, that's what I'm going to be wrapping today. These come in many different sizes, so the length of the paracord that I'm going to go over today may not be applicable to what you're wrapping just because they come in larger sizes or really tiny sizes, so just your mileage may vary on this. So you're going to need two lengths of paracord, as well as I just used a pen to actually stab and loosen up some of the paracord to weave in the secondary part of this knot. But like I said, we're going to be starting with a Solomon bar. So the Solomon bar takes an inner strand piece as well as an outer strand piece. Now the inner strand piece, we're going to use this Desert Digital paracord here. This is, I believe, 8 feet, and the outer strand of this Coyote here is 9 feet. So that's kind of what we're going to be starting with. And to start this, as you may remember from a Solomon bar, you're going to find the midpoint of your inner strand, so just like this, and you want the loop that's made by that inner strand, or the bite in the paracord, to be what wraps around your bottle here. Now, when you wrap it, you want to make sure to leave a little slack on the other side here, because what you're going to be essentially doing is wrapping that Solomon bar, or tying the Solomon bar, around that inner strand, and then girth hitching this to that loop on the back side. So you don't want to make it too small. You don't want to choke up on it like that. You want to leave a little slack. So we're going to start about right there with our Solomon bar. Now the first step in a Solomon bar, hopefully you guys remember. If not, try to link to some of our other videos we've made a Solomon bar with. But the first step is going to be tying an overhand knot. Now this is that 9 foot piece, and I've just taken the midpoint, wrapped it around, and I'm just going to create an overhand knot to start this thing. Okay, you can double check at this point. Make sure that you still have enough room here on your loop. Now, the thing that's different about wrapping this Solomon bar compared to some of the others we've done is that you're not going to tighten the crap out of it as you go. You're going to make it a little loose, because you're actually going to be weaving the leftover strands from this back through it in a zigzag pattern on the sides of this. So, after you've made your overhand knot, and if you remember the pattern on the Solomon bar, it's going to come over, and you're going to alternate sides. So one's going to be right and left, so I'm going to kind of do this fast here. So you're going to move from right to left, wrap around the back side. See if I can do this facing you here. Right to left. There we go. Okay, let's go left to right. Around the back side. And back through that loop. Tie. Around from your left, around, and tie. Oh, I'm already screwing it up. Sorry, this isn't the easiest thing to do without facing the camera, so. Let me adjust the camera, and I'll get closer on this. Okay, I think this is a much better view here. I'm sure you'll agree. Okay, you're going to start from the right side. You're going to go over, down, around the back side, take the end of that working end, and come back through that loop you created. And tighten, but not too much, remember. Now you're going to come opposite, so left hand, left side over, down, around the back. Through that open loop. And repeat that process from the right, down, and over. These working ends become a little unwieldy until you get further down here. But as you can see, I'm kind of pushing it together, but I'm not over tightening it. And that's what you need to make sure of on this thing. Because those loops, each of these loops here is going to, we're going to actually stick that pen through, loosen them up, and a piece of paracord is going to thread through there. So what I'm going to do is, instead of tying this whole thing on video here, I'm going to cut away, and what we're going to do is, I measured out the distance from my bottle here, and it's about 7 inches all the way around here. So what you're doing is you're basically creating this pattern all the way around and back up to here. So you're going to stop somewhere in here, and then you'll be girth hitching, which is just this right here. Taking these two strands, coming through that loop, just like so. Doing something like that. So that'll give you an idea of where you need to be. You can measure out the distance so you'll know when to stop your Salomon bar. And we'll be right back. Okay, we've got that finished up. We've got about a 7-inch overall length here. And you can double check it again, putting it on here and wrapping it around. And that should work out pretty nicely there as far as the length goes. The next step in this is to... So you've got the end in front of you that you've been wrapping with. If you come around to the back side now and tie a simple overhand knot, basically this is to kind of lock everything in, and you'll see more why we're doing this in a minute. But what you want to do is you want to leave these strands here for now. So the working ends that you've been using, normally when you're making a Salomon bar knot, if you're done with your outer wrapping, you'll typically cut these and burn the ends or fuse them. But we're going to leave those for now, and I'll explain why in a minute. So go ahead and loop that over whatever container you're weaving onto. And actually, first we're going to put this in here to create the girth hitch. Put our strands in. Okay, so this thing is going to want to get squirrely on you. So really at this point, what you're going to do is, it's going to be a little hard to see, but you're essentially going to make sure, and one thing I forgot to mention is on the ends of the inner strand, you want to make sure you kind of get those to a tip, because you're going to be using those to wedge in here. But what you're going to do is, as this doubles back and creates the girth hitch, you're going to weave the left hand, so there's a left hand side strand and a right hand side strand, you're going to weave this back through this loop here on the right and this loop here on the left for the left strand. So let me demonstrate that. Get our pin here. And this is so we can open up this hole here. You can use anything, but pen just happens to be something easy that most people have laying around, so that's why I'm demonstrating with this. Okay, so there's that right side, and this is why I told you not to get rid of this part yet, because that'll need to be tightened back up. And we're going to wedge in here for the left side, Now that is going to be our starting point now. And you can retighten this back up. But I'd recommend waiting to cut it still. But you can kind of move those strands out of the way so it's not interfering with what you're doing. But now if you look on the side of this thing, these loops here that stick out this way are what you're going to be weaving into. So we're going to go with these outer loops on this side and the outer loops on this side. So you're going to take your paracord and just kind of do this thing. You're going to snake back and forth on the sides. So we're going to open up this right here. And I'll do a couple of these. And then I'll cut away and finish this up because this can kind of be a pain to sit here and watch. Now remember, I'm going to do one side at a time. So what you may want to do is as you're doing this, just make sure that this stays centered in your object. I noticed the last time I did this, it was easier if I kind of tried to eyeball it and make sure that stayed in the center. That way I wasn't overwrapping this thing. Alright, so I'm going to come here, open that up. So you can see what you're doing is just creating this outer wrapping here that helps hold this thing together. And see, that was the point of leaving the Solomon bar loose. So I didn't even have to really... Oops. Okay. So... what you may want to do, too, we really need to cut this thing and get it out of the way in the back here. But what you may want to do is, I didn't try this on the last one, but I may go ahead and make a few wraps on the right side. Because what you want to do is, you don't want to wrap too much to where you can't get the bottle back out. Because once you can't get the bottle back out, there's really no way to cut this as well back here. And to burn off and fuse those ends. So what I'm going to do is... I'll probably do a couple wraps on this side, turn it around, burn those, or cut and fuse those. I'm not going to show that on video, but just remember you need to do that at some point. So we'll be right back when I get a little more weaved. We're back now. I've got the side wrap all routed through here. Show you in detail here what I've done. So each one of those wraps has that side wrap and it crisscrosses back and forth. And the last step on this is to go back here and actually kind of tighten up everything, which I've kind of already done, but you're just going to kind of retrace these, pull the slack all the way down to the end here, and you're just going to trim off at this point on both sides and fuse it. So I didn't get my lighter over here, so and my scissors, but let me do that real quick and be right back. Okay, so we'll just trim this off here. Pretty close to the end and fuse it. And one of the best ways to fuse this is just to use the end of the lighter and press it down. There we go. That's fused on that side. Cut this one. The other side. So as I was saying, you can pretty much do this wrapping with next to anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be a germ grenade or bomb or whatever you call it. But so essentially that is that. There's one last step, and that's just to take a keychain. If you want, you can thread it through here, or you could take a small carabiner and put it through the very top. Or you could even tie a lanyard, so you could get something going here. You could have a lanyard to tie that onto. You could get a cord lock. have that there and cord lock this onto something, tie a lanyard knot in the end maybe. The possibilities are really endless at this point of what you can do with it, whether it's something this small or even a larger object. So there you have it. Knot of the week this week, the germ grenade or paracord wrapping on a hand sanitizer bottle, or in this case, denatured alcohol. Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed it. And make sure you leave any questions if you got them. And check out itstactical.com for the full article and write-up, where we'll have some photos as well. Hey guys, welcome to ITS Tactical. On today's Knot of the Week, we're going to show you how to make a bolus, or a boladeris. And that is going to consist of three monkey's fists tied together, one of them being longer than the other two. And it's basically a tool that the Argentinians used to use, I guess I'm saying that right. People from Argentina used to use, I think they were the first to invent this device. But essentially what it is a device that you throw over your head. Hopefully you've seen these before. But you throw them at whatever you're intending to tackle, whether that be an animal or your food or something like that. So the purpose of these is to either hobble the animal or to get the animal to fall. So we're not only going to be making one of these today, but we're going to be showing you how one of these works. And the one that I've made here is pretty damn effective. So what I'm going to do is, instead of showing you how to make the entire thing, I'm going to walk through the process of forming one of these monkey's fists. The monkey's fist is a knot that we've already gone over on the Knot of the Week, so I'm not going to spend an entirely long time making the monkey's fist, but I am going to at least walk through one step showing you how to make this. The difference between this type of monkey's fist and what we've shown in the past is that there are five wraps on each turn of the monkey's fist. So without further ado, let's get right into it. One thing to mention real quick is that there are two heavier ends. The shorter of the three are heavier than this one. And these two are the core of these. I used a golf ball, and for the core of the lighter weight one, I used a practice golf ball, which is just plastic versus the, I guess, rubber band coating that's inside a regular golf ball. So let me show you how to make one of these. Okay, so what we have here is some sisal rope, and this is just generic natural fiber rope that you can get at Home Depot or Lowe's or anything like that. This isn't any kind of special rope whatsoever. What I have done on a couple of these ends is I've whipped them with dental floss. Dental floss is a very cheap way to whip the end of your rope and get the wax-coated stuff so that it binds together. This is absolutely important when you're wrapping some of the final turns on this monkey's fist. You really need to have this end wrapped so that, whipped, so that you can squeeze it into the wraps. So we're not going to start off using the golf ball, but if you remember a monkey's fist, first of all, what we've got here is a 12-foot section of rope, and to make the double balled end of the bolus or the boladeris, what you need is a 20-foot section. And if you see here, what I've done is I measured out about, I'd say, a good foot and a half. In fact, I know that's what it is. It's a foot and a half on each of the sides here. So this total span here within this loop is 3 feet. And basically what that does is it mates with this end, which this is approximately 2 to 2.5 feet, because I left a little slack here, because when you tie this together using the knot that we're going to use to bind those together, it comes out to a 2-foot section here and 1.5-foot sections here. This makes the lighter weight section longer, which is useful. So the purpose of having a lighter weight ball versus the two heavier balls is, I'm having a hard time doing that without laughing. But the purpose of that is that the lightweight ball flies, the heavier ones fly further than the lighter weight one does. So what happens is the heavier ones hit the target that you're intending to throw at. The lightweight one actually wraps or makes the turns around. The heavier ones will make the turns, but the lighter weight one is the one that actually will wrap a lot faster than the heavier weight ones when you're swinging them. And the technique to swing this thing is that you grab the lighter weight one in your hand and swing the whole thing over your head. So you've got the two heavier ends swinging over your head, and that's what you launch at the target. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, let's start with this here. What I've done is taken that dental floss and I've whipped that end, and what I'm going to do is measure off from the end here. I already have a little marker somewhere here that I've marked. So I've got 2 feet here where I've got my mark. So I'm going to measure off 2 feet, and that's where I'm going to start the wrapping at. And the first step in the monkey's fist is to make 5 wraps around your hand. So 3, 4, 5. What you want is, when you're done with these wraps, you want the place where it comes and meets again, right here, you want to count 5 of these loops right there. Move that golf ball. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 5, and it's meeting back up, and we've got 5 all the way around. So the next part in this is to, I like to do it over my fingers right here, and this is where I make the second, I start my second wrapping. So you're going to go opposite direction of what you first wrapped. So let me show that again. Actually, I need to do that. So that's the tricky part that you have to remember, is to make sure you've got those 5 wraps, because if you don't have 5 wraps, it's not going to be as tight when you wrap everything together, and you really need 5 turns. So from there, you're going to start wrapping here like so. And it's a little difficult for me to show this right here, so I'm going to actually turn a little bit. I will show you what I'm doing here, though, as I'm doing it. So the deal with this right here is that as you start wrapping your 5 turns this way, you want to leave your fingers in there, but because what's going to happen is after you're done with these 5 wraps, you're going to make another 5 that come over this way. So it's going to come across this, and right where my fingers are, it's going to come in and wrap lengthwise around this way. So I'm going to get my 5 wraps around here. Okay, 4 and 5. And this is the part that can get a little bit tricky. And what I like to do is I like to go ahead and, before I insert the golf ball or the weighted end, I like to go ahead and thread this one time. Now, you see I'm taking that end that I whipped here, and I'm coming through the top of that stack like this. I'm coming across the back side and back under where my fingers have been the whole time. So I'm coming right there. And at this point, you're almost letting go, so you're taking your fingers out of this rat's nest here. That's kind of what it looks like. And this is where my fingers used to be, and I'm going to come straight up like this and back through where I just came through before. And you're going to make sure you want to come to the side here, so if I'm looking at it this way, instead of coming here, I'm going to come on this side with my wrap. So I like to get at least 2 wraps done this direction before I insert the weighted core, just because it gives it a little more structure. Okay, so you can see now, basically, I've got 1 wrap that way, and this is the end of my working end. It's got the whipping on the end with the dental floss. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to squeeze in that practice golf ball here. And one thing you want to do at this point is kind of clean up everything you're working on here. Make sure each line is laying correctly, and that you still have your 5 wraps everywhere. Okay, so there's 5 there. There's 5 there, 5 there. And then this is obviously the end we're still working on here. So, there's our working end. We're going to continue that pattern. There's one. Remember, we're trying to get five here. And I'm just going to actually kind of continue to clean this up. I like to just kind of move the strands around with my hands as I'm doing this. I think it saves time later when you're actually tightening this thing up. Okay, so there's two. There's four. And you can see where that whipping is kind of coming in handy. So you can actually grab that and pull it through. And so we just need one more here. And hopefully we have enough slack. I seem to always not wind up with enough slack and have to pull a little back through. But it looks like we've got the perfect amount. Okay, so you can see there's five strands there. Five pretty much everywhere except for this last wrap up top, and I'll show you how to tuck that in. So we've got five, 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 just double checking myself here. Okay, so for this last wrap, what we're going to do is we're going to tuck this in about halfway. So it's going to wind up right in there. And once you have that halfway through, you're going to start with this and you're going to trace back. And this is the part where people get really confused at, I found, with a monkey's fist. What you're doing is you're tightening this up, but you're working backwards. So by pushing this in from this way, you see how it's kicking out that strand there? Well, all I'm going to do now is just kind of tighten that up and then be careful of that whipped end there. Make sure it's still halfway. That's the important part here. So as I'm tightening, I'm just continuing to push the opposite direction, tighten up a little bit, and push. Now this is the part that takes a while. Just feeding this back around to itself and tightening it up. Now it seems like it's going to take a long time when you're doing this. Try not to get lost. It's very easy to get lost. You sometimes don't know which direction you're pulling from. You just want to keep following that pattern. And pay attention to the last place you push through. I like to push through until I can see that rope move. So I can see that, and that's where I need to grab and continue pulling through. Okay, looks like we got one more section here after this. We should be done. These little turns here can sometimes throw you off as well, so be careful with those. But when you've done three of these, your fingers will definitely be tired and you will feel it. Monkey's fists are not the easiest things to tie, but I think they're by far one of the coolest knots. And there's just a multitude of use for them too. And you can see with this natural fiber rope, you're going to get stuff all over the place. It's just inevitable, really. As you weave this stuff in and out, it's just going to deposits everywhere. All right. So there you have it. We have tightened up that monkey's fist now. And I'm sure it can get a little tighter, but what I'm going to do at this point is instead of continuing to mess with this, I'm going to put this off to the side. I'm going to pick up the one that I made before, which is a little tighter. And I'm going to show you how to link these together. And the knot we're going to use to link these together is the Beckett's bend or the sheet bend. I like to call it Beckett's Bend. It's just kind of what I'm familiar with from the Navy. But essentially, it's almost like a square knot, and we've shown this before, but I'll briefly go over it. So you're going to come inside. Make sure I'm doing this right here. Yep, okay. And you come inside the loop, down. Jeez. Messing things up here. All right. Okay. From the backside. See, even I get confused with my knots sometimes. So from the backside, you're going to come in the loop, like so. Around the backside. And then you're going to tuck under what you just brought through. Just like that. And that's the sheet bend or the Beckett's bend. Now, so I don't have to go with you guys here. I'm going to clean this up just a little bit. Make it a little tighter. And then we will launch this thing. See what we can do. All right, so there's the Beckett's bend. And what you can't do at this point, too, is this is probably something I'm going to do later on after I'm done with this, is I'm actually going to take some dental floss and whip this whole thing right here just so it kind of binds that together. But so what I'm going to do is what you'll hear is probably this thing spinning around in the air, and what I'm going to be doing is just holding that lightweight end here. So these are the heavy ends. This is the lightweight. I'm just going to hold it by this so it's spinning around, and these are going to be in front, and we'll see what we can do with this thing. Okay, I'm going to aim for the rightmost leg of that table here. Try to do this without breaking anything. Wow, pretty cool, huh? There we go. How to make a bolus or a boladeris with ITS Tactical's Knot of the Week.
Hey guys, welcome to ITS Tactical's Knot of the Week. Today we're going to be paracord wrapping a Strider DUK, that's the dive utility knife. This is one of their first, actually the first generation they made of the DUK. It's now in its third generation and impossible to find, I believe. But anyhow, we're going to show you how to wrap one of these. I got a lot of comments on our first Strider wrapping article where we showed you how to do the technique. There were a lot of people that said they couldn't see each step, so now we're in 1080p, so hopefully I'll be able to show you each little step of paracord wrapping one of these. So let's get right into it. Okay, so what we have here is we have our triple-aught design DUK. We've got 5 feet of gutted paracord and about 15 feet of standard paracord with the guts in it. So the gutted paracord is going to be used for the underwrapping, and the regular paracord is going to be used for the overwrapping. So the first step in this is to take this 15-foot section. I've already got the midpoint here. So you're going to find your midpoint. And this has got 4 holes plus the lanyard hole in the bottom, and we're going to utilize all that stuff. We won't use these 2 holes in the center, though. So if you have a knife that's got 2 holes plus a lanyard hole, that's exactly what you want for this. But in this case, and in most cases, you can make things work that don't have all that too. So basically what we're doing is we're taking that midpoint through. And I'm actually going to go the opposite direction here. I'm going to come through this way. Not that it matters, but so you're going to take that through. So you'll come out with something looking like that. And then you're basically going to turn this into a girth hitch. If I can get this in here. And pull it back through again. Okay. Now the reason I started with 15 feet, it may seem long to you, but you just never know with this kind of wrapping. You don't want to have to need more paracord halfway through this. But what I'm doing right now is I'm tightening that up. So I'm taking that girth hitch, just kind of pulling it back and forth to get it really tight there. That's definitely something you want. So at this stage, you're going to kind of move this out of the way like that. So you're left with something like that. And we're going to take our underwrapping cord here. I'm going to leave a little bit of a section here, and essentially what we're going to do is start wrapping it. So I'm wrapping above that girth hitch knot, basically, because what this is going to do is kind of hide the spacing that would be between our normal wrapping when we get that done. So I'm just going to continue to wrap here. And you want this pretty tight when you're wrapping it as well. You may find it a little difficult as you're wrapping here. This kind of gets in the way, but that's all right. All I'm going to do is continue to wrap all the way down. What we're going to do when we get to the bottom of this is kind of lock it off and melt it against itself. Because this doesn't have to remain super solid, because it will, in essence, get locked in by the overhitch, or the overwrapping. So we're just making sure that that's right next to each other. I think the hardest part of doing one of these is actually holding tension on everything the whole time. And that's the hardest part of that for me anyway. All right, so once we get to the end here, what I'm going to do is loosen this up. I'm going to take this through like this. I'm just going to lock it off. Push that up. I'm going to trim it and melt it into itself. There we go. So that's our underwrapping. And you'll see what we've done with the underwrapping is we've kind of also trapped our what's going to become our overwrapping as well. So at this stage, what we're going to do is we're going to move into the vise and we're going to continue wrapping it, and I'll show you the pattern that we're going to use for that. So let's get into that. Okay, guys, so what we're going to do is we're going to start on the side opposite, where our strands have come from. And what I've got rigged up here is some cardboard and duct tape that's just going to keep the blade from getting bent up and scratched when it's in the vise here. And I'm not putting a ton of tension on it, just enough to hold it there. So the first step in the Strider wrap, or as it's been referred to before, is just taking the strands and interlocking them like this. Just going to take them and loop them like that and pull them tight. So that's one of your wraps there. And then what you're going to do is kind of pinch it with your fingers, flip it around. And normally the way I do this is just kind of without looking from the other side, but I want to show you guys everything I'm doing at this point. So what I'm going to do now is kind of reverse the way I was going before. Like that. Because I want it to kind of follow the same pattern. And sometimes I get lucky and everything works out right, and then sometimes I feel like it looks like crap. So we'll see what this turns out like. So basically you're repeating that pattern on each side. So what I'm trying to do is make sure that I interlock these the same way each time. And remember to pull tight when you're doing this too. You want these to stay tight as you're going. Try not to stab myself. So what I'm trying to do too at the at the same time I'm doing this is I want to keep these in a row as well. So I want those looking the same. And I'm not holding that as tight as I should be. Got something in my throat today, sorry about that. It's easy to get confused on that pattern. That's what I just did right there. So I had to flip it around the other way real quick. Make sure it all looks the same. Really no secret to this except for patience. Definitely takes a while to do this. And like I said, the biggest part of this is keeping that tension each time. So your fingers will definitely wind up hurting. Because what I'm doing is I'm pinching the sides pretty hard each time. I'm having to flip it here. Another thing that happens too that I'll show you is that your lines start getting tangled. So you may have to undo those at some point. So really this is just the same basic pattern until you get to the end, and that's kind of where it changes up a little bit. So it looks like we definitely didn't need all 15 feet. Looks like we probably could have done it with about 10 feet. But like I said, it's always good to have some extra because you don't want to have to need it when you're to this point here. So I think this is going to be our last wrap. What we're going to do at this point This is probably the last one we'll do here. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to tie a square knot. You want this square knot to be pretty tight. That's a little wimpy. I'm going to do it again. Might help if I cut some of the slack off too. Once you have your square knot, you're kind of going to do a little flip with it. You're going to insert these back through that lanyard hole there. So I'm going to burn my cuts real quick so I can get them through easier. just temporary to get them through. So you're going to take these through that last eyelet. So like so. Try that again. Okay. Now once you're through, flip it around the other direction. And you're going to tie another square knot. Tie this into a lanyard loop. And that's just an overhand knot. So there you have it. You put your hand in there. Now you've got a wrapping. All right, guys, so that's been our knot of the week on how to paracord wrap a triple aught design dive utility knife, or DUK. So hope you enjoyed it. Again, make sure you check out itstactical.com, where we'll have the full write-up as well as detailed photos to show each step of the wrapping, just in case you have any further questions.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah. Mm. You can say that again, Steve.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Now, I, too, have found myself in situations where I want to throw something or chuck something, if you will, and the thing has been too slippery or too wet for me to properly chuck. I wish I'd known about that technique of paracord wrapping.
Paracord.
Paracord, right?
Paracord.
Yeah. Paracord,
yeah,
wrapping.
Paracord wrapping.
Yeah. Paracord. How about you, Steve?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm a city boy, and I haven't ever really needed to throw anything when it wasn't already designed for throwing, and in a context where throwing was specifically deemed appropriate. I'm also from Canada, but you know, today was, I feel, a very informative episode of the Talking Show. Normally we throw our episodes towards the aesthetic realm, and today we kept things more practical.
Yeah, well, you know, you didn't grow up in Texas, Steve.
I didn't.
Yeah, it's a little different out there. It's not all, you know, Hawaiian shirts and sunsets like it is here in L.A. Sometimes you got to know how to do some shit, and it gets really serious.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Really fast.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
You know, if I remember correctly, last episode, at the closing, I kind of had a little bit of a mental breakdown, and you weren't there for me, Steve. You were on your phone. You were, you know, you're so metro that you were on the phone. So I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, geez, Nick.
In light of Brian Black's talk about knots.
Grow up.
I'd like to hear a little exegesis on the dialectic of the Enlightenment. Let's hear that, Steve.
Well, this is very, very immature of you, Nicholas, might I say. Sometimes there are reasons why people have to be available. You know, the Talking Show isn't my whole life, unfortunately. So sometimes there's calls I have to take. Sometimes there are text messages that need to be responded to. Anyway, just to prove that I can do this, though, Dialectic of the Enlightenment by Horkheimer and Adorno is the early elaboration of sort of how a culture of domination produces itself, how the Enlightenment itself, seen as sort of an entry point for reason, blah, 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 actually goes on to produce a culture of domination leading up to fascism, the rise of fascism in the early 20th century, which was of specific concern to Adorno and Horkheimer as they were in the process of fleeing Nazi Germany. Examples are sought throughout history. They go back to... they do a particularly interesting sort of read of the Odyssey, for example, showing how aspects of that sort of presumed Greek epic culture actually produce these ideas within the Enlightenment that then go forward to actually create a culture of domination, also dividing it up through institutions, things like that.
Well, there you have it, folks. The Talking Show with Brian Black. Thanks a lot. Be safe. Be very safe. And most importantly, be tactical. Good night, everyone.
Good night.